you really need to get all the money on the table, which means that you have to get that customer to buy from you again, again, and again. And the way you do it is to be recognizable. You have to have your brand and you have to give them an amazing experience. So this is why market validation means they like it. They're buying it. As soon as you get that, boom, you start scaling.
You're listening to Ecomonics, a Debutify podcast, your resource for one-of-a-kind insights into the world of e-commerce and business in the modern age. This is Joseph. I'll be presenting a wealth of industry knowledge from interviews with successful business people and our own state-of-the-art research. Your time is valuable, so let's go. Robin Devon Kalandri was gracious enough to join us for an hour to break down why Udroppy is a great platform for entrepreneurs aspiring or accomplished. Nearly every need is covered by the passionate team from sourcing to fulfillment. All that's left is to market. In addition to being an e-com manager, Robin is also the face and voice of the company, bringing her energy and passion to both the public, whether that's at conventions or on her own interview series, as well as the backend. Robin, it's good to have you here.
Hi, Joseph. Thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited.
Me too. This will be my first go at interviewing an interviewer. And so not only am I hoping to learn what you have to say about your company, but I'm also curious to see how you respond to being an interviewee, which you've also been. You've been on the other side too. Anyways, this is getting way too meta. I haven't even gotten to the first question yet. I want to get right to brass tacks. So we'll start broad. What is Udroppy and why should I have signed up for it yesterday?
Oh, I like how you made out this question. So Udroppy is the solution if you intend to do e-commerce, dropshipping or e-commerce today or yesterday, of course. It's an all-in-one solution that allows you to just focus on what you do best, which is marketing, especially now after the big development of e-commerce and all the competitiveness. You really need time for your business and you need to take your mind off operations. So the idea here is that you have a whole ecosystem of services. Ecosystem in the sense that there is really something integrated for any need you might have. So you just have to work with one tab open and you just stay there. So Udroppy gives you, of course, the platform, the technology to manage your Shopify store. And you really manage it from A to Z. So the products, you have all the suppliers you can ask for, because Udroppy is based on a marketplace model. So you have several suppliers you can choose from with their products. We source products. So if there is anything special you need, we can get that for you. We take care, of course, of delivery in several formulas. We give you, of course, the technology for the fast fulfillment. So having an order per day or 100 or 1,000, it really doesn't make any difference. We give you the whole invoicing system, tracking system, and all the features that you need to scale your business. Because, as you know, you start drop shipping, but who starts drop shipping doesn't end drop shipping. They end having a real e-commerce. So you start, ordering in bulk, private labeling because you want to create your own brand. Maybe you need to sell in places where you have to provide cash on delivery services, and this is what we can give you. And overall, you are assisted by a personal consultant that knows everything about your business and that has this one-on-one relationship with you and that helps you to scale your business. So as you can see, the point is, once you have an idea and you know how to market your product, or at least you have a scheme, you have a project, You come to Udroppy and we help you with the rest.
Now, there's one thing you mentioned in there that actually was a question that I had a little later down the line, but it's almost perfect to bring it up now because you already mentioned it about how the continuation of dropshipping, how it might not be worth doing it. And I've got a quote here from businessdecasa.com, which I did have to translate into English, but when you have a minimum of market validation, you have to scale. And when you step up and manage to sell 100 products a day, it makes no sense to continue dropshipping. So for listeners who might be thinking dropshipping is the end point, which by the way, includes myself, what can you tell us about the point where dropshipping needs to end and then what's taking over, which you did mention private labeling, but I want to hear more about that.
Of course. So, okay. Based on my experience, I have to say dropshipping equals testing. And it's not good for anything more than testing, which doesn't mean that I am taking away any points from the dropshipping dignity, but the dropshipping is a tool. And as a tool, you have to know how to use it. So dropshipping is perfect for the market validation. Why? Because you don't have the products. You just need to know what's the reaction of the public. You need to understand what is the right public for that kind of product. But drop shipping is, even though it's really a really simple solution, really comfortable to work in drop shipping, it's also very unstable. So at a certain point, you need to step up from that. Plus, once you know that you're selling those 5-10 products per day, it really doesn't make sense buying the single products. It makes sense buying 100, 200, 500, which means that you're going to pay less per unit because you're buying in bulk, and just manage the shipping. We have a specific feature at Udroppy, which is called the virtual warehousing, which means that even if you buy in bulk, you don't need your own fulfillment system, your own warehouse to import or anything. We do that for you. We keep the products at our warehouse, and we manage shipping from there. So shipping is much faster. You can start thinking about customizing your products because you're ordering in bulk. So you can start, you know, putting your own logos, doing your own packaging. But it's really, it's gradual. Dropshipping is the first step. Of course, then at a certain point, you can really, you know, start importing and, you know, scaling up a storm. But the thing is that having an eco manager, like, that's one of the advantages of having an eco manager, because since they're working side by side with you, they tell you when it's the exact moment, and they help you to understand also in numbers why it's worth it. They tell you when it's the exact moment to, you know, start scaling your business, and yes, start working in bulk, start private labeling, and just kind of started to let go the dropshipping model and go more to a whole e-commerce system.
You know, I'm not even sure I'm going to get to question two, because as you're describing this to me, it's just like there's so many things clicking in my head. One of them is that market validation hasn't quite clicked. And listeners, you know, as I mentioned to you before we're recording, well, a lot of us are, we're getting into it. I know that's where I am. So market validation, as I'm understanding it, as you're describing it to me, is we know that this is going to sell in the most simplest way that I can say it.
Yes, exactly. You're testing your product. You're putting it out there. You're testing different copies and different creatives, and you try to see the reaction. You try to see how many clicks you get. You try to build up an audience that you want to retarget. You study their behaviors on your landing pages, on your Shopify stores. So you try to see the success this product can have. And of course, at a certain point, you're going to start selling, but you will want to make that experience the best experience possible for your client, which means that you will have to start creating a brand. You know, when you start to create a brand, the client can remember you, knows who you are, and might purchase again from you the next time. Selling right now in 2020 is all about a CLTV, So the customer value lifetime, the customer lifetime value. It's midnight. Hey, come on.
No worries.
So you really need to get all the money on the table, which means that you have to get that customer to buy from you again, again, and again. And the way you do it is to be recognizable. You have to have your brand and you have to give them an amazing experience. So this is why market validation means they like it. They're buying it. As soon as you get that, boom, you start scaling. Mm-hmm. And that's how you do it.
And that's where the brand side of it comes in, because the way I'm thinking about this, as you can imagine, I've been doing a lot of research and I'm putting together solo scripts, and it's hard not to be tempted to want to take my own crack at making a store. And I've also tried different online business ventures throughout my life. So the thing that crosses my mind is, first, even if I'm dropshipping something, I would want to have my brand all sorted out and ready to go. But this was also mentioned in the last interview that I had with Steve Tam, who said it was too much effort. It was too much to have the whole brand fully figured out, not knowing whether or not the product was going to actually work. So instead, they white labeled it, where they just had a very simple, very clean presentation, made sure the product worked, and then they put a full brand together.
Yes, exactly. And that is not only how you do it, but that is the mistake that a lot of newbies make. They want everything perfect. And I understand psychologically also, because just thinking about the investment that you're making, because even though dropshipping is, you know, it's not a burden economically compared to other models, you still are investing money. But that's not how you do it. Testing means massive imperfect action. So you put together something, I mean, decent, something nice, but once you start getting some external confirmations, that is when you start perfecting everything. Also because it's all about the data. So you don't know the outcome. Whatever happens is going to guide you through the way you will perfect your brand. So it really has no sense to make everything perfect in the beginning. You have to always interpret what comes to you and then give your audience what they're asking for.
You know, I have a very good feeling that one thing I'm going to do is, after we do this interview, I'm going to listen to this again, because you're giving me more questions that I'm quickly enough able to write them down. So I'm definitely looking forward into getting into a lot of the granular stuff with you on this down the line. But I do want to get back to some of the introductory stuff, because I want people to also get to know you a little bit more and the company a little bit more in a broad perspective. So the next one that I want to know is your role at Udroppy. It says that you're a brand relations and e-com manager, but there's more to it than that. So tell us about what you do.
Yes, well, that is a good summary, brand relations and e-com. I always have a part where I keep myself working on the field, because that's the best way to, be updated and be stimulated. And I love working with clients. But yes, I also work with relations from brand, for the relations of the brand, marketing. And I like, as you know, to always get value from people and share value. So as you know, we have all our series. I do reviews. I really try to absorb and give out as much as I can, because I'm working with our customers, so I know what they want, and I try to get everything they want from the other side, the major players of this industry.
And I think that goes a long way, because people, as much as people would want to take that initiative and just say, oh, I'll just do it all myself. A lot of the information that I've learned from Ricky, that I've learned from the other people that I've interviewed and that I've read online, is this is all coming from people who have spent a long time on this, who have learned that first wave of lessons to be able to impart onto other people. So having somebody on the other side to turn to and to talk to, it doesn't just make it easier, but it also, it's more inspiring. It also creates more motivation to say, you know, these people, they got my back, and they're incentivized to do it too, because it's your business operation. So you still want to generate revenue from it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fact is that everybody, 100% or let's say 99% of people that kind of, let's say, made it in this industry, they have all different backgrounds. So everyone can relate. And they all have their personal stories, but they all have one thing in common. They never gave up. And they learned and very humble. They made a lot of mistakes. So it is very, very important. There is a side in this industry that is kind of like the Lambo mentality, and that made this industry very, very popular, because there is a lot of lifestyle involved. And you can see this from a discrete amount of gurus that made it part of their, you know, of their own personal brand. So show how they live. And there is this kind of, let's call it, misconception that drop shipping is something that will allow you to, you know, live in your penthouse, go shopping in your helicopter, and fry in your Lambo. That's the thing. So people have to, in very often have to, you know, have to bring them down to earth and say, no, this is, you need a long-term mentality. This is a real business. Dropshipping is not an ATM. It's not that today you start and tomorrow you're crying billions. That's not how it works. And it happens. I mean, people, then they start, they approach, they spend their money. Results don't come immediately, especially because they don't understand that results are also not selling, because you are collecting data, and that is the treasure. And that is when you can start really working. And they just give up. They just give up. It's like you're digging for a treasure and you just give up at 1 meter. So my goal is really to give them a clear vision, trying to exploit all my authority as a person that is working behind the scenes. So I know, I see it. I see the people who scale. I see the people who don't scale. And I try to, you know, transmit this kind of mentality.
Well, you know, I come from a from an arts perspective. Like I've tried to get into doing comedy earlier on, and I usually wait until I make my guests laugh until I point that out. So that was good of me. And it helps to have a good carrot in front of you, because I think for a lot of people who made it through, it was difficult, but they can see the end goal, which is I can make quite a lot of money. I can, and it wasn't like you say, at helicopter shopping, which is going to go on my bucket list. But for a lot of people, it was, they weren't in a good place. They needed to pay off their debts. They needed to help their parents. They who maybe just had to sell their home. You know, a lot of the people who came into this and who did well were people who really needed it and were driven because the options around them. They could have the same amount, they could put the same amount of money and energy and sweat and blood and tears into something that would pay a fraction as much. And the reason why I bring up my own experience in comedy is that the carrot there was pretty genuine. Like there are HBO specials, people can do clubs, but everybody knew that only one performer out of 10,000 is going to be like a guy who can sell out a theater, who can sell out a stadium. Sure. So for a lot of people, the passion really was the motivator. And there was an understanding there. And I guess that understanding is a little bit harder to convey in an industry which there's a lot of money to be involved. But the premise that I've established this show on is that doing this is about being a problem solver. And the more you scale the solution to the problems, the more you're rewarded for it, as you should, because that's economics.
Exactly. And the point is that it's not one out of 10,000. you can really make a lot of money. And I have seen customers making a lot of money. It's just a matter of having a method and having the right expectations and working really hard. So it's really just a matter of approach and solving the problem, of course.
So let's get to this next one. From what I saw, you were involved in the company early on. I saw a picture of your company and you were in the beta phase. So how did you get involved into the project?
Yeah, actually, I was the first person that they hired, you know? Number one, number zero, I don't know. Well, yeah, it's kind of a funny story because it was like a bet with myself. I didn't know in the beginning if it would have been a clever thing to do or a good experience. I was just very attracted because you have to know, I studied legal informatics and digital forensics in university. I got my bachelor's degree in that. And I specialized on something that is the opposite of the whole philosophy and the whole method behind affiliate marketing, which is privacy. So that was one of my things. And I was really good in that. And I mean, all my biggest accomplishments in university and after were in this specific field of privacy, of the consumers, of course. So it was always a matter, I mean, I knew very well the environment, but from that side. So when I started working with Udroppy, I used to always say in the beginning, it was like working for the enemy, thinking that I was, you know, working with people that exploit personal data. But it was really interesting, you know, going on the other side. I was really hungry for that kind of to learn what they do at the other side. And I also wanted to, you know, bring my contribution for, you know, what I knew and what I knew about customers. And then the whole thing evolved. And here I am, basically.
Well, I mean, I come from the arts. And so when I started working for people that make money, that's the artist in turn, that's the artist for working with the enemy.
Yes, so you understand. But it's still, you know,
you got a paycheck? Salary?
Money? Oh God. So yeah, you understand.
Yeah, but it's a good mindset to have. So not that this is, you know, about me, this is about you, but the big change in my perspective was after I had lost a sales job that I was good at it, but there was disagreements with management. And so I said, you know what, I'm just going to make up my own job from scratch, which is how I got into podcasting, which is what led me to here. And when I started freelancing and I started having to kind of run the operation myself, that's when my mind started to change a lot. I started to understand things from a different perspective because before that I didn't understand profit margins. I didn't understand, buying things at cost, selling them at markup. I just didn't get it. So, you know, one takeaway for people listening is that if there's an opposite side to something, it would help to hear what they have to say because you never know what you'll learn from it. You don't have to switch sides, but you'll probably learn something.
It will make you complete after all. And I mean, you had the good push because you had the necessity. And yeah, I can kind of relate to that because what pushed me to, you know, step into something that was the complete opposite of everything I had done so far was the fact that I was kind of stepping back into working. I just had my daughter and she was like 2.5 and I hadn't been working since she was born. So I was like, okay, let's do this. And I just did it like this, but that was a big motivation, let's say. It also, you know, gave me the strength because being opposite, you also have to, you know, work a lot on your head. You literally have to break your brain to understand certain things. So that really, really was motivating for me, I have to say.
Congratulations on being a mother. What did you name your child?
Miralyn.
Miralyn. Yeah. I would have been, I don't know why, I under no circumstances would I expecting like a Western name like Stacy. I was certain it was going to be a beautiful Italian name. So yeah. Good on that.
We invented the name actually. Miralyn is not, we invented.
Oh, you invented. Okay. It did sound Italian.
Because I pronounce it, the pronunciation perhaps is Italian. So Miralyn can sound Italian, I guess.
Mm-hmm. A beautiful name regardless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you are also an interviewer yourself. You do Grand Venture Heroes, which I understand is like, sometimes it's, no, it's the video series of Grand Venture Heroes, but there's also another version of it that's text-based. Yeah. What I appreciate is your characterization of the guests as heroes. So where did the idea come from? What's its goal? And most importantly is what makes them heroes?
Well, so as I said, the goal here is to talk with, big players from the industry that started from a situation that could belong to any one of us, but then they really hit the roof and hit the sky and hit the universe. So that's the reason why they're heroes, because... Oh, I'm sorry for water cycle. It looks like I live in the middle of the street, but I actually don't. I'm in the middle of Milan and people drive like crazy, especially now that nobody's going outside because of, COVID and lockdown. Anyway, so sorry for that.
It's all good.
So the point is that everybody who starts doing e-commerce starts a grand venture, and it's made of ups and downs and all kinds of rough or less rough turns. So the point is that if you get to the end of it or you get at a good point, you actually are a hero, because you will have to, it means that you have faced a lot of difficulties. I mean, you mentioned Ricky earlier. He is a hero as well, and he is one of my heroes. And he is one of these people. He started and he didn't succeed immediately, and he just hit the nail and went on and went on and went on until he found his winning product. But in the meantime, it was a very stressful moment for him, and it was really, psychologically and also physically, emotionally very heavy. Mm-hmm. So this is the point. And as I said, these people are always willing to share. That's what I like. They share everything. They don't keep anything for themselves. They just share value to avoid other people from, doing mistakes, the mistakes they've done. And so that is the reason why they are heroes. Because, they actually are heroes because they also help people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as is the show's mantra, is that they solve problems and they contribute to the net good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that really is a sign of someone who's a heroic, who gives and isn't even really thinking about what they get back, because one knows that instinctively giving is a way of getting something in return by just improving the I want to get the exact word for it. Oh, damn it. I had this great word that was just on the tip of my tongue and I lost it. Just improving the general world around us, because if you improve the world around us, that improvement comes back to you. So it's all cyclical.
Definitely. And it's going to come back, of course.
It's killing me. It's like mesh. There's just a really good word in there. Anyways. So next question.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a, I'm going a little, left field with this one, but we also have some stuff that we want to know about you as well. You have a knack for being on camera. Have you always had a performative side to you?
Actually, yes, I did. I don't know. Since I was very small and, in school, I've always, yes, I've been kind of, I don't know. I like to be in the center of attention. At the same time, I fear it, but when I do it comes up well. So I like it. I like acting. I like photography. I like modeling. I like presenting. Like I like hosting. It's just something. I mean, I it's simple for me to connect. I guess with the viewer, with the audience. So I guess this is the reason why I am working at Udropy in this position. It's not too difficult for me to, you know, share the vision and spread out the message.
Right. And I don't know if like early on, once you were started working with a company, if that was part of the plan, or if this was something that you brought to them, or they said, hey, you know, you might be a good interviewer. Like, how did the presentation side of it to enter into the Udropy picture?
Well, no, actually, right after the first interview, they told me that was something that they would have exploited how it went, because I was kind of like all over the place, and they're like, okay, girl, you have something. So the company is a startup. We're just starting. So right now we're gonna all work in the technical part, you know, the e-coms and beta testing, the platform and everything. But of course, when the brand is gonna start growing, if there is somebody that can speak, that person is you. So, and that's exactly what happened. I started doing little things and then more and more and more. And now it's like this. Now I work a lot talking to the public, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what I can say from just from Debutify is that I definitely didn't pitch this idea to them. They put the pitch out and they brought me onto the project, because these people, they're doing their research. They know what are all the different channels and all the different avenues, preparing for YouTube, preparing for social media, preparing for podcasting. It's fascinating seeing how other sides of it, the performance side of it, is something that the business side of it is keeping in mind, because there's a great need for presentation. There's a great need to communicate ideas, and not just to communicate them, but to communicate them in the way that people resonate with and they enjoy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, they made a perfect choice. As I told you earlier when we started this call, I was like blown away just from your voice.
You didn't thank you.
Yeah, to say hi, and I was already, whoa. So, and you're really good at it. So, yes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Is this like, I've never been to Italy, but I wonder if I would just walk around and everyone is just complimenting each other. Ah, your car is so beautiful. Ah, your shoes. Ah, it's so beautiful. Is that, am I close?
I don't know. It depends. If you're in traffic, no.
Okay.
But no. It's, I really think it. I like your approach and, your idea, your goal was to represent who is approaching the industry, and you're genuinely doing it. I feel like I am talking to somebody that is working with Udropy and that, you know, has these legitimate questions. So that's why I'm saying that that's the goal, and you're smashing it.
Oh, thank you. Our cameras aren't rolling for these, by the way, which is just as well, because I'm not completely beat red, but there's a transitional period. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your, this is going to be like an experience question from your perspective, because I'm born and raised in Canada, and my running joke is that Canada is basically the United States wearing a helmet. So, and I don't know very much about European culture, not having any experience. I don't know much about Italian culture from the experience side of it. But to tie this into an e-commerce podcast, is over time, how would you characterize Italy's relationship with the changing innovations that, say, Silicon Valley would adopt right away? Because, you know, like Toronto, New York City, although they're going through a little hard time right now, but these metropolitan cities are at the cutting edge of whatever the cutting edge is. But I'm wondering how things were in Italy.
So what you mean, how is e-commerce in Italy right now?
Well, yeah, we should say specifically about e-commerce, but if it's better off you're answering that in general, Because it might paint a better picture, like how Italy took to the internet, how Italy took to smartwatches, along those lines.
Okay, well, I mean, globalization, of course, includes Italy, includes Europe. Overall, people here are less wild when it comes to buying online compared to the Americans, for example. But this is just because e-commerce and, I mean, the buying culture and also the payment method, like all the credit card system, is really, really brings the American public to buy a lot. So it's a little different in Europe, which doesn't mean that they buy less. It means that it just works in a different way. So in general, and especially in Italy, where, by the way, drop shipping is a thing. It really is a thing. People see things on the internet, are exposed, but you have to understand how to, you know, send the message and how to trigger them into buying. So when, let's say, when you start advertising a product and you generally do it in English, when you start translating it, you also have to understand a little bit of the culture, try to understand, because what works in Germany might not work in Italy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a very big fragmentation, but once you do that, once you understand that part, you start selling like crazy. Another thing you have to understand when it comes to Europe, especially when it comes to Italy, but also Spain, Portugal, Greece, so like the southern part, and especially the eastern part of Europe, is that if you want to sell online, you have to allow people to pay after delivery. So you have to have a cash
on hand, okay.
For example. If you don't, you're losing a lot of money. So like a system like Udroppy is good because we know these things. We know how it works. That's why you have an e-com manager. Because if your project is to sell, let's say in, I will say Portugal, for example, just because like Portugal and Hungary are two countries where right now e-commerce is really going crazy. If you start selling because you know that the numbers are good and you don't know about cash on delivery, you're going to have a really hard time selling and you will never know why. And the reason is that you really have to know these places. The same thing for Italy. There is a very low credit card penetration here. So you're leaving on the table 13, 20% of your revenue if you don't integrate cash on delivery. When we're talking about Eastern Europe, you're leaving a lot more money on the table. There are certain countries, like in Romania, you can't even start selling if you don't have cash on delivery. So the point is that Europe is, yeah, there is a fragmentation, but it's also less saturated. So it maybe takes more time, but once you know how to approach the market, it's party.
Mm-hmm. You know, from my, just from earlier today, while I was on Facebook for a little while, I'm scrolling and there's plenty of products. And now I look past the veil. Now I understand, you know, what's going on, but it doesn't stop me from being a customer. So I just bought this sleeveless sweater with a hood and a mask. And they said, yeah, you can wear this to the gym. It breathes easy. I'm like, yeah, we're to the gym. Okay. Yeah, that's totally why I got it. I don't just like red hoods because I like to cosplay or anything. But the reason why I'm breaking this up is because the pay process was so swift. My credit card details were already saved into the web browser. So I just had to enter J. And it says, oh, you're okay, you're Joseph Ayani, this is your address, this is your postal code, these are your likes and dislikes. And so I click it, and the whole thing just fills out automatically. Oh, now, I've been burned a couple of times. One product that I mentioned in other interviews and on my solo episodes as well is a product that was called Hands Free Bracket, which was this thing that was both, you can put like a tablet into it and then you can move it around freely. Well, not only did I never get it, but the website just went down. The reason why that doesn't scare me is because I know the credit card companies, they're so large and they have such infrastructure that they have my back. And they did. They said, okay, well, we'll just send you back the money and then we'll do an investigation. And I said, can you tell me what are the results of the investigation? Because are you going to go to the hands-free bracket HQ and address people? There can be like an overdoing it to the point where people are now, we've kind of like lost our ability to control our impulses and we're just purchasing things. So it does sound like there is a lot of progress made, but maybe it's a little bit more of a cautious progress where there's just like more steps involved. Cash on delivery is just, it's a smart move. Maybe if you don't mind, I'd like to see the product first before I pay. If you don't mind, if I'm not asking too much.
Yeah, well, it's that is something that belongs to Portugal in particular, like the philosophy of seeing the product. The reason why cash on delivery is very popular is because there is no credit card culture as in the US here at all. I mean, credit people just pay cash. And not everybody has, you know, an account and, you know, they connect to the card. And that's already too much for a lot of people. And also, people are used to, you know, especially the older ones, you know, they were used to buying from TV. So it's kind of like the same thing. I just give you the money. If they have to start working with cards, it's already too much for them. There is not this kind of culture. In fact, now during the lockdown, there has been a change, because a lot of people were forced, even though it's not very appreciated in general. In Portugal, instead, it's different. It's not just a matter of, I don't know how it works, so give me the product and I'll give you the money. There is a law in Portugal that says that when you receive the product, you can open up the product, check it out, and only then you decide if you want it and pay. So doing cash on delivery in Portugal is a very delicate matter. Because you really have to, you know what you're selling and do a proper job. So if you wanted to work one shot, which is something that I really don't like, but there are merchants that do it, Portugal is not the place.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first time an observation has popped into my head, because we were taught in high school that one of the main reasons why the Great Depression of the 1920s took hold, it wasn't the deciding factor, but credit cards was one of the key things. And the reason why is because, actually, no, though the Depression was the 1930s. The 20s was the decade of excess. What happened was people got credit cards for the first time and they felt freedom. And I think because the culture was highly based off of working. Mothers were working at homes, caring for tending to the house. The fathers had to go to work in the factories or wherever they were doing a lot of labor. And so there was a lot of sense of confinement, even though they weren't imprisoned. So when people were given these credit cards, essentially they thought, and I can get whatever I want and I can pay for it later. And they got that sense of freedom back.
Yeah. And this is something that, believe me, people in Europe don't understand. Like, you're like, how is it possible that there are people that are okay and have the mentality of spending money that they don't have? Here it's very different. You spend the money you have, and when it's done, it's done. It's not a matter of, unless you're buying a house, then of course you have your loans, but then that's it. So it's very, very different. You see, you have to know these things when you're selling. Also, because knowing this, you can interpret the data and you can know who has which problems, who is more prone to buy-in on impulse, who must be retargeted a higher amount of time, you know, why you don't discourage yourself. So you understand the process. It's not simple. You really have to, you know, make your own homework. This is why I'm saying that the Lamborghini culture for dropshipping isn't working, because who thinks that really you just go and make a lot of money and you run away with the money means that they're not considering that you all also, you know, have to make your homework.
Mm-hmm. You know, I hope maybe at one point, just in keeping with our theme of both sides, you know, at one point we can end up having an interview with someone who's had that experience just to find out what actually happened. Because I do think it's happened where some people, they just lucked out and they managed to make a bunch of money. But I don't think it's as common as it's made to, as people are led to believe.
Well, actually, it was, let's say, something that would happen often in the beginning.
I see.
You would just go, Facebook ads wouldn't cost anything, and you would make a lot of money in no time. And I also have to say that this has happened during the lockdown again, because Facebook ads was really cheap. Everybody was buying from the internet. So also at Udroppy, we've seen that in general, newbies that had no idea of what they were doing, they would be able to perform really well, really well. I mean, I've also personally seen stores that weren't that appealing, I have to say, and they were And like crazy, and it was like, how the hell is it possible? But yes, so we kind of went back because there was an age, an era where this was possible. After that, no, because once you know that there is money, I mean, competition arises, and services like Udroppy make it really simple to enter, you know, to access this world. So at a certain point, you have to have a valuable offer, a good proposition. You really have to have quality and know how to market it. But yes, during the lockdown, I've seen, you know, several cases that brought me back a good 5 years.
Well, if anybody listening relates to this experience, feel free to reach out to either of us. Do both shows. Yeah.
Definitely. Always excellent. White hat, though. Huh?
Pardon me?
Always white hat. So always legit. Huh?
Okay. I hear that. All right, here we go. Next one. This is going to be another gear shift. So your company, along with yourself, you're present at a lot of conferences and talks. And I'd love to ask about the conferencing circuit, which is why I will. But this year has not been a good year for doing things in person, to put it mildly. So let's rewind to 2019. Yeah. What events do you get to be a part of throughout the year?
Well, of course, Affiliate World conferences, which is, these are the conferences from the Stuck That Money group. So they are like the pioneers of affiliate marketing. They are the one that made it a thing, that practically built all the culture on affiliate marketing and on e-commerce from there, and drop shipping, etc. So they have two conferences a year, one in summer in Barcelona, which is Affiliate World Europe, and then they have one in December, which is Affiliate World Asia. And yes, we go to both because that is the event. That's where you meet everybody. That's where everybody does the networking. And I'm not talking just about me like Udroppy, but everybody who has started, I mean, like the single person that wants to invest, just go to these events. And what I like about these events is that the day before they start, there is SheCommerce, which is a day totally dedicated to girls in e-commerce, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's an event super full of value that focuses on aspects that are very close to women working in this industry. And it's amazing. So the guys from Affiliate World Conferences, they did a great job, and I totally recommend anyone to go there, to go to the show, go to the booths, go to all the speeches, to every single thing that they organize. Of course, the parties are amazing. Yeah,
of course. Yeah, I might have seen some pictures of some hotel rooms.
They're wild. But the point is that the value you come home with is you can't quantify it. You go there and you get those information that actually change your life, change your way of working. And then you just have to go back again and again and again, because it's really an investment. Other conference that I really love and that we go to is the European Summit, TESS, which is, they do it in Prague and in Lisbon. So always in Europe, but this is more for the adult niche, let's say, and gaming. So it's more specific, but in terms of personal branding, there is, you know, a lot of e-commerce and services. There is a lot of, you know, e-commerce going on there. So that's the reason why we go. And then there is the Affiliate Summit. Affiliate Summit, this is for the US. They have one in Vegas. We always go there, which is another huge one, beautiful, well done. And they do one in Vegas and one in New York. I prefer the one in Vegas. And that is the place to go to cover the rest of the world for us. Like, once we go there, we've done it all. And of course, we do go to the ones in Italy. So we have Affiliate Expo here that is growing, and it's very specific for the Italian market. So yeah, it's a lot of conferences. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. But yes, these are the main ones.
That's incredible. I mean, it sounds like a heck of a good time from a learning perspective as well as a unwinding perspective.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're there, you just wish you could like duplicate yourself, triplicate, and just go everywhere to all the classes. And the fact is that, and this is what I love from this industry, that all the superstars, the rock stars, they're all super, super, super friendly. So you can really go up to them, and you just go up to an Ezra Firestone, you go up to an Ernest Epps, you go up to, I don't know, whoever, to a Tan brother, and to Tim Bird, to whoever, and you're like, dude, you're amazing, now let's talk about some things. And they're super friendly, and they give you their insight, and they give you a lot of super valuable information, and you have stars in your eyes, and you go home and change your business. So that those are the places to be, seriously.
I believe it. All right. So as much as I'd love to hear you describe more about the hotels, and I suppose, you know, the information side of it too, I'm going to switch gears on us again. So this was I picked up a couple of things from Instagram. I'm finding Instagram is a really good place to learn more about my guests, just because it's chunks of information. Sometimes there's videos and images. So one of the things that I picked up from your Instagram is that you talk about how Shopify went from being a store of its own, and then over time, it turned into an e-commerce platform that we know today. Have you experienced any of your users coming in thinking they're going to be one thing, and then it transformed into something else?
Well, yes, in the sense that once they see that, once they have the method and they see that things work, they just start going crazy. So I mean, the sky is the limit once you understand, you know, how to do things. So maybe they come in with specific revenue goals and then they're like, oh no, you know what? I'm going to hit the million and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. So maybe, yes, it's more from that point of view rather than changing the system. But it's like once you have the method, then you just continue testing products or building more brands and see what can work out.
Fair enough. So following up to that one, did Udroppy undergo any changes of its own, or have did the way that the company was envisioned to be pretty much you guys stuck to that track and now you are where you're at?
Oh, no. Udroppy is like is meant to evolve continuously. That's the point. Uh-huh. Because we adapt to what the e-commerce industry will become. It's always a matter, like our clients have to always be one step ahead of competition. So we have to understand what the industry will become and adapt to that. So today I am presenting Udroppy as a marketplace, but the marketplace model wasn't something we embraced since day one. It's a very recent change because we have seen that right now, when in terms of B2B services, this is what a dropshipper would want, even if he doesn't know. But we know that in terms of choice, in terms of having something, you know, quick and neat to exploit, in terms of price transparency, this is exactly what they need. And this is just an example, because also our features, the features that we have and the way we work, it continuously changes. We have a lot of meetings where we sit down and try to understand what is the best. And what I love about this company is that there nobody is afraid of saying, okay, let's erase everything and redo it from scratch. They don't care, because this is a company built from dropshippers, you know, for dropshippers, by dropshippers, for dropshippers, and you can totally see it, because it's always a matter of giving, you know, the best to the clients, to our clients. So yes, I have to say that Udroppy has changed a lot during the time, and will change and we will integrate more features. We're gonna eliminate the obsolete ones, but it's really part of the game.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are you have a commendable level of ambition, and I say that because another one of the images I picked up from your Instagram, so there's six panels from left to right. It's Apple in a garage, Google in a garage, Amazon in a garage, Harley Davidson in a shack, Facebook, and what I think is a barn house, but I'm not 100% sure. And then you guys and your starting point, which was a conference room. So what are Udroppy's big picture goals?
Well, Udroppy is really aiming to become the company that will bring democracy to the e-commerce world. Like, that's the problem that Udroppy is solving, and that will solve even more right now. Because right now, the scenario has this kind of, you know, dichotomy where we find marketplaces on a side, and on the other side, we find single shops. Now, for that side, we've seen that Shopify is really, you know, taking over everything, because they were the first ones to give a very simple front-end solution. So everybody who wants, you know, to build their own business and not depend on a marketplace, they just go for Shopify and scale with Shopify. But the point is that once you have the front-end, you need a back end, and you need a good one, because, okay, you have the store, but who's going to give you the products? And is this person reliable? What if you have problems, and who's going to take care of the fulfillment? And what about the invoicing? And what about private labeling, et cetera, et cetera? So the democracy is that really if you have your Shopify, it doesn't mean that you're going to succeed because your business isn't fixed when it comes to the rest. Udroppy wants to fill in that gap. This is why we always try to understand and give the solutions in order for who has a Shopify store to say, okay, I have it. And now I have the same weapons of my competitors on Marketplace. And now I can sell my stuff with the difference that they are on a Marketplace. So they will never be able to scale their business more than X, or at least right now. I don't know if you've seen Jeff Bezos at the Congress. So they have their own problems, but who builds their personal brand they really have their own business. So they can scale it as much as they want. They can really establish their own brand. And we give the proper support for this.
Excellent. So I've got one more question for you, and this is going to be an engagement question. So for people who are motivated and they want to get started with Udroppy, let's just say hypothetically that all they've got so far is their domain and a Shopify account. They're going to come to Udroppy and they want to get started. What are they going to expect? And what would you recommend they have ready to bring to the table?
Well, they have to have an idea of what they want to do. So they have their domain, they have their Shopify, and they should have, a little bit of marketing experience, because you have to know how to push your product. You have to have a good mentality. I mean, like a long-term mentality. I will never stress enough this point. And then, okay, that's it. When you start working with Udroppy, you work with an e-com manager, as I said. So it's really your personal consultant. So when you start sharing these ideas with you, the e-com manager, first of all, of course, they is really a senior specialist. So they tell you exactly how you can, like the method, how you can bring this to life, and they set the next steps with you in order for you, you know, to achieve your goals, especially now, for example, that it's Q4. So you really, you know, want to be prepared for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Halloween, Christmas, etc. And you just start working. And that's pretty much it. You go on the platform, you have the products, you push the products to your store. You don't find the product, you ask for it, we find it for you, you push it to your store, and then you just start marketing. It's really, let's say, just as simple.
That's incredible. And I, no promises yet, but I've got a couple of ideas of my own that over time, I'm trying to decide what's the best strategy for each one. So don't be surprised if I reach out to you guys at some point in the future.
Damn, you really should, especially because, I mean, you could also, you know, share your experience after that thing, especially, you know, how it is working with an e-com manager, because it really, really makes a difference. Among all our features, the e-com manager, I see that is, I mean, we have several plans, and you really, when you compare the results of the people that work with an e-com manager, they're incredible. You really do in 3 months what you would usually do in a whole year or a little less. So definitely, I'm waiting.
Well, the beauty of it is that there's no conflict of interest here, because Debutify has a very distinct edge. And it doesn't get in the way of what you guys are doing, and you guys aren't getting in the way of what Debutify is doing. It's a cohesive picture where these different businesses and services are working together to solve our problems so that we can solve problems for others.
Yeah. And I mean, I've always said that we kind of complete each other, because I mean, we love the Beautify, and it's not a mystery, because we openly talk about the Beautify, because it really helps our clients and it helps us. That's it. It's so if it works and it allows them to make money, it allows us to work better. And it really is like this. So I've spent a lot of time on the Beautify. And in the beginning, it was because I needed to, you know, understand. And, you know, I did a review and etc. But then it was because it was having fun. It was amazing. So yeah, definitely no interest conflict or anything, but it's like genuinely two companies that were built from people that come from this industry and that said, you know what? If I had to do that, I would do it like this. And they just did it. So that's perfect.
Excellent. Just because I owe a great deal of gratitude and debt to Ricky for bringing me onto this project, I'm going to run it past him first just to make sure he's cool with it. I don't see why he wouldn't, but that's the kind of guy I am. So, hey, Ricky, if you listen to this episode, let me know if it's okay. If not, I'll message you on Slack. Okay, Robin, it's been an absolute treasure. I hope we get to bring you back because, as I said, there's a lot of stuff here that we didn't get to explore. That once I gain more experience and I can get into the more granular territory, I would look forward to continuing on the conversation with you.
Sure, sure. This was really fun. So definitely, let's do it again, of course, whenever. Another night.
All right, terrific. All right, thank you again.
Thank you. Take care.
You might have found this show on any number of platforms. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or right here on Debutify. Whatever the case, if you enjoyed this content and want to help us thrive, please take a few moments to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you think is best. We also want to hear from you, so whether you think you'd be a good guest or want to weigh in on anything related to our show, you can email podcast@debutify.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Finally, this podcast is created by the passionate team at Debutify. If you're ready to take the plunge into e-commerce or are looking to up your game, head over to debutify.com and see how it can change your life and the lives of many through what you do next.